إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. Alhamdulillah, indeed the praise belongs to Allah for His favors upon us, all of them, including our health and well-being, and of course most importantly for guiding us to Islam and the Sunnah. This evening, in this sixth lecture in our series entitled Character and Manners in the Sunnah, we'd like to look at the second hadith, and hopefully, inshallah, the third hadith out of the hadith that we intended to cover. The second hadith from the final kitab, the last main chapter of Bulugh al-Maram by Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, dealing with al-adab and al-akhlaq, dealing with manners and character. This hadith, the second hadith, is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم فهو أجدر ألا تزدروا نعمة الله عليكم متفق عليه. يعني on the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look at those who are less fortunate than you, yani those who are below you, who have less than you, and do not look at those who are more fortunate than you, those who are above you, who have more than you, who have been given more. And this is so that you will not underestimate, so that you will not think little of or consider insignificant the favors that Allah has bestowed upon you. This hadith is reported, yani, by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, muttafaqun alayh. And as we know, we probably mentioned, I think in the introduction, that this is the most authentic grade that a hadith could be given, the highest level of authenticity. That is a hadith that is agreed upon by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, and Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, as being authentic. Muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim as being sahih. Inshallah, we hope that in discussing the meanings that the scholars have given to this hadith as they have explained it, it will help us to understand it better and enable us to implement it and practice it in our lives. But along with understanding it, we also hope that we will memorize it, that we will memorize these hadith as best we can, in Arabic or in English, or in Arabic and English. May Allah grant us success in doing so, in memorizing them and also in understanding their meanings so that we can practice them in our lives. We have been discussing these hadith from Bulugh al-Maram from the explanations of two scholars, primarily the explanation of Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman ibn Sali Ali Bassam rahimahullah, and secondarily we have also been taking some notes or some comments from the explanation of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Sali al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, both of them being students of Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi rahimahullah. Both of them were students of the same teacher. Shaykh Abdullah Ibn Abd Rahman Ali Bassam, he says in this first hadith, the hadith of Abu Huraira, this second hadith, the first one we want to discuss this evening, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us, "Unzuru ila man huwa asfala minkum." Unzuru ila man huwa asfala minkum. Look at the one who is less fortunate, the one who is below you, who has been given less of the favors of Allah than you. وَلَا تَنْظُرُوا إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقَكُمْ. And do not look at those who are above you, those who have been given more than you, those who are more fortunate than you. This is a command to look at those who are less fortunate and a prohibition of looking at those who are more fortunate. And then the Prophet ﷺ ends the hadith by explaining the reason why he has commanded and prohibited us as such. فَهُوَ أَجْدَرُ أَلَّا تَزْدَرُ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Because in doing so, in looking at those who are less fortunate than you, and not looking at those who are more fortunate than you, it is likely and expected that you would be able to avoid falling into something that many people fall into. That is, to underestimate the favors of Allah upon you. Most people underestimate the favors of Allah upon them. Rather, they think that everybody has been given much except me. Because why? They look at those who have been given more, those who are more fortunate, instead of looking at those who are less fortunate. So the Shaykh says, Shaykh Abdullah Ali Bassam, he mentions 3 points from this hadith. And each of them are significant, especially the first point. In the first point, the Shaykh says, "التمأنينة القلبية." التمأنينة القلبية. يعني tranquility or serenity of the heart, peace of mind, cannot be achieved, will never be achieved, إلا بحسن النظر والقناعة بما قسم الله للعبد. That a person will never achieve peace of mind, the heart will not be at rest, tranquil, unless and until they have a good look, a careful look, carefully scrutinizing, considering, thinking about, reflecting upon, and then becoming content with al-qana'a, with that which Allah has appointed for the slave, for the person, for the human being. Until a person looks carefully at this matter, what Allah has decreed and proportioned or apportioned or measured out for you, if a person examines it carefully and look at what Allah has given them, it will enable them to be content. They will achieve al-qana'a. They will be content with what Allah has given them. If they examine all that Allah has given them and realize how much He has given them, they will be all right. But most people, they don't really look at what they have. Rather, they look at what others have. And if others have more than them, they think that what they have is insignificant. They underestimate the favors of Allah upon them. So the Shaykh, the first point the Shaykh is making here is that a person will not have peace of mind, tranquility, serenity. They will not have rest and satisfaction until they take a careful look and scrutinize carefully and then become content with that which Allah has apportioned for them. And remember, we mentioned in the introduction to this class the statement, the author of Abdul Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, in which it's reported, and the scholars of hadith say that it is mawquf, sanadan, but it is marfu, matanan. That this saying of Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, although the sanad, the isnad, stops at Abdul ibn Mas'ud, but the ruling concerning it is that it is attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because it's not from those things that he could have made ijtihad to conclude with. And he said, that is Abdul ibn Mas'ud, inna Allah ta'ala qassama baynakum akhlaqakum. كَمَا قَصَّمَ بَيْنَكُمْ أَرْزَاقَكُمْ. That Allah, the Most High, He has divided up between you, between the people, character. He has given the people character. He has divided up what He has given to the people, just as He has divided up for you your provisions. Allah is the one who has divided this up. He has given according to His will and His wisdom and justice, perfect justice, each person what He has given to them. And if a person examines carefully what they have been given, they will be content, knowing that it is Allah, Rabbul Alameen, who has given them what He has given them. who has decreed what he has decreed. So the Shaykh says, so if a person becomes content within himself with the blessings and favors that Allah has given to him, then he will achieve rahatun nafsiyah and tama'anina qalbiyah and rida bima qassam Allah lahu. Then in that case he will achieve raha nafsiyah, yani his self, his soul, his inner being will be at rest. And his heart will be tranquil and he will be pleased with that which Allah has apportioned for him. In this case, he will not yearn or crave for or covet in the matters of the dunya, of the worldly things, that which is possessed by those who are above him. In this case, if he became content and pleased with what Allah has given to him, he would not desire and yearn for that which those who are more fortunate than him that have been given. And his eyes, wa alaykum as-salam, his eyes would not be looking to, would not be focused upon and fixed upon those who are more fortunate than him. If we can understand this paragraph, it's critical to understand this hadith. That in order for a person to have tranquility and peace of mind and contentment, they have to look carefully and examine and scrutinize that which Allah has decreed for them. And if a person does that, they will become content with what Allah and His wisdom and His justice has decreed for them. And in this case, they would not yearn for or covet that which others have who have more than them. And in that case, they will be content and they will be pleased and they will be at rest. The Shaykh says, so if a person does this and achieves the peace of mind and the good cheerful spirit and happiness in their livelihood, if a person does this, then they will be okay. Otherwise, if they don't do this, if they don't follow this instruction, which will enable them to become content with that which Allah has given them, then no matter what they achieve, how much more they get of in the worldly things, no matter how much they gain of worldly things, whether it's wealth or property or whatever it is of the things of the dunya, no matter how much they get, they will always find somebody who has more than them. And therefore, they would continue to be miserable. And they will be worn out, seeking more and more. And they will be physically exhausted. And they will be distracted by this seeking, never-ending seeking of more and more of the dunya. And they will become unmindful of the preparation for the hayat al-baqiyah and the sa'ada al-da'ima. That is, they will become mindful of preparing themselves for the permanent life, the life in the hereafter, and the eternal happiness in Jannah. And this is what we find, I'm saying, not from the Shaykh, but this is what I'm saying, this is what we find in the world today, that most of the people are distracted by seeking the dunya, and therefore they never find peace of mind, contentment, and tranquility in this life, and never find rest. At which point they will be able to focus upon that which is more important than this world, that is the preparation for the next life. The second point that the Shaykh makes is that the Prophet ﷺ has guided his ummah to the way of al-qana'ah, tariqatul qana'ah. The way, the road that a person can travel to achieve contentment. The Prophet ﷺ has guided his ummah upon the road that leads to contentment. And he has directed them to the manhaj, the methodology of achieving a rida, pleasure, being pleased with that which Allah has apportioned for them. And he has ordered them in this guidance and this manhaj, he has ordered them in the affairs of the dunya to look at those who are less fortunate than them, those who have been given less than them. For indeed, a person, no matter how poor they may be, they will always find somebody who's poor. And no matter how sick they may be, they will always find somebody who's more sick. And even if they have some physical defect or disease or disability, they will find somebody who has a greater disability and somebody who's more severely tested and tried. Hence, إِذَا أَنْعَمَ النَّظَرُ, if a person looks carefully scrutinize their matter carefully, meticulously, فستجد أو فسيجد أن الله تعالى فضله على كثير من من خلق التفضيل. If a person examines their affair carefully, then they would definitely find that Allah has given them preference over many of those whom He has created. Over many of those who He has created. And the Prophet ﷺ, in a hadith that's mentioned in the Fortress of the Muslim, Muslim Muslim, he said that when you see a person who is afflicted, you should say, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي عَفَانِي مِمَّا بَتَلَاكَ بِي وَفَضَّلَنِي عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّن مَّنْ خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلًا. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, the one who has protected me and saved me from that which you are afflicted with. And the scholars say you shouldn't say it out loud to the person who is afflicted, but you should say, acknowledging that Allah has favored you, that Allah has protected you from something that another person is afflicted with, whether they are crippled or blind or worse affliction, that is, affliction in their deen, a person who's upon deviation, who's misguided, or who's a kafir. Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي عَفَانِي, the one who has protected me and preserved me from that which this person is afflicted with. وَفَضَّلَنِي عَلَى خَثِيرٍ مِّن مَّنْ خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلًا, and who has preferred me with a great preference over many, كثيراً, he didn't say all of them, but many of those who he has created. If a person examines the matter carefully, they will see many people who are less than them, who are less fortunate. And therefore they will have good reason to praise Allah and thank Him for the preference that He has given to them. And they will become content and satisfied and pleased with that which Allah has given to them. So the Shaykh says that this an-nadhr al-hakima, this wise way of looking, examining the matter, the affair, will enable a person to have, for their heart to be at rest, and their soul to be happy, and it will enable that person to increase himself in iman, in his iman, imanan bi rabbihi, wa shukran lahu ala ni'mihi, wa sabran ala mabtalahu, ibtighaan ma inda Allah ta'ala. That if a person looks at the matter with this look, with this kind of yani inspection, examination, consideration, according to the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ, their heart will find rest, and their soul will be happy, and they will be increased in iman, iman in their Lord. Their iman in Allah will be increased, and they will be increased in their gratitude to Allah for the favors that He has given to them, and they will be patient with the trials that they have been tried with. All of this as a means of seeking that which is with Allah, meaning the reward that is with Allah for those who believe, who have iman, and who are grateful, and who are patient. Then this is the means to achieving that which is with Allah, and that which is with Allah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith that the Imam read this morning in the Fajr Dars, أَلَا إِنَّ سِلَّةَ اللَّهِ غَالِيَةً أَلَا إِنَّ سِلَّةَ اللَّهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Isn't it so that the silla of Allah, the merchandise that Allah is trading, that He is offering as a trade, isn't it expensive? Isn't the merchandise that Allah is trading with Jannah? Naam, Jannah. But a person has to have iman, and they have to be grateful for the favors that Allah has given them, and they have to be patient with the trials. And in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Amazing is the affair of the believer. إِنَّ أَمْرُهُ كُلُّهُ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. That the whole of his affair is good for him. إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّى شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. That if some good comes to him, he is thankful, so it is good for him. وَإِذَا أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّى صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. And if something bad afflicts him, then he is patient, so it is good for him. وَلَيْسَ ذَاكَ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. And this is not so except for the believer. That the whole of his affair is good for him. Why? Because the believer, when good comes to him, he's thankful. And when the opposite comes to him, he's patient. And this is the means of achieving success, patience and gratitude after inspecting and examining the decree of Allah and what He has decreed for His servants. And it is nothing but good. The final point that the Shaykh makes is that And this is a matter that we have to have some discussion about. But in any case, the Shaykh, he says that as far as our examination and looking at at-ta'at, wal-qurubat, at the acts of obedience and the things that help us to achieve nearness to Allah, when we look at those things, as opposed to what we talked about first, looking at the things of the dunya, then we should look at those who are less than us, who are less fortunate. He says, and this is the view of many of the scholars of sunnah, many of the scholars of sunnah hold this view, and most of the explanation of this hadith, in most of the books of hadith, you will find them giving this explanation of the matter. And it is a perspective that is certainly correct, and it's not the only perspective, but the Shaykh says, as far as looking at acts of obedience, and those things which bring us near to Allah, then it is fitting. It is expected that a person should look at those who are above them, yani who are more fortunate than them. And they should consider themselves as muqassir, as having fallen short. And I said, this is one view, as many of the scholars have explained this hadith, that in matters of dunya, the things that Allah has given to the people of this world, we should look at those who are less fortunate, so that we can appreciate what we have, even if we have little. There are people who have less than us. And many of the scholars said, as Shaykh Abdullah Ibn Abdul Rahman Ali Bassam, Rahimahullah, says here, وَأَمَّا النَّظَرْ فِي الطَّاعَاتِ وَالْقُرُبَاتِ, as far as looking at acts of obedience and things that bring us near to Allah, we should look at those who are above us. And we should consider ourselves to be of the مُقَصِّرِينَ, those who have fallen short, we have not done enough. And we should look with envy at those who have yani excelled us, who have gone beyond us. And then we should strive hard to catch up with them. Yani we should look at those who have done better than us, who are making more prayers, who are giving more charity, who are more obedient to Allah, who have memorized more of the Quran, who have better character than us. We should look at those who have better than us, so that what we will see that we have fallen short. And we should strive to catch up with them, to do better. And then the Shaykh closes with these ayats and these hadith. From Surah Ali Imran 3:133, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, سَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Race, yani compete, hasten to seek the forgiveness of your Lord and the Jannah, its width is equal to the width of the heavens and the earth. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It has been prepared for the people of taqwa. Yani that a person should strive, should hasten to seek the forgiveness of their Lord and the Jannah that Allah has prepared for the muttaqeen. And from Surah Al-Mu'mineen 23:61, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَهُمْ لَهَا سَابِقُونَ. That these previously described are those who hasten in doing good deeds, and they are the foremost in doing so. This is what is expected of the believer. And the saying of Allah in Surah 83. What is the name of Surah? Mutaffifin. Naam. Jazakallah khair. Surah Mutaffifin 83:26. وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسُ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. And in this, yani, those who strive and compete should compete in this matter. That is in what? In the matter of doing good and righteousness and seeking the pleasure of Allah and earning His reward in Jannah. So this is something that the believer should strive for. We should look at those who are ahead of us and then make an effort to catch up them with them or to excel and pass them. And then the Shaykh mentions two hadith, and these hadith require explanation, but we don't have time to explain them. And may Allah make a way for all of us to find some explanation of these hadith. The first of these hadith is a hadith reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mu'minu al-mu'min al-qawi khayrun wa habbu ila Allah min al-mu'min al-da'if wa fi kullin khayrun. Al-mu'min al-qawi, that the strong believer. Al-mu'min al-qawi, the qawi is describing the mu'min. So it means the person who's strong, not in doing push-ups and lifting weights, but strong in iman. The mu'min al-qawi, the one who is strong in iman, is khayrun, better, and ahabbu ila Allah, more beloved to Allah than al-mu'min al-da'if, the weak believer. Wa fi kullin khayrun. But in each of them there is khair. In every mu'min there is khair. But the one who is qawi in iman is khairun, better, wa habbu ila Allah, more beloved to Allah than the one that is weak in iman. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ihris ala ma yanfa'uka, be eager in seeking that which benefits you. Go after it, that which is beneficial. Wasta'in billah, and seek help from Allah. Wala ta'ajiz, and do not feel incapable, helpless, that you can't do it. Eagerly seek that which is of benefit to you, and seek help from Allah in doing so. And if a person is working hard to achieve, is striving for the good, and they're asking Allah's help, how can they be helpless? How can they feel hopeless if they are working and they're asking for Allah's help? احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز. Do not be helpless. Go after it and seek Allah's help. And then the Shaykh said, that which is reported in Al-Sahihain, Al-Bukhari and Muslim from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قال, حفت النار بالشهوات وحفت الجنة بالمكاره. That the hellfire is surrounded by shahwat, desires, pleasurable things, things that people want to do. But if you engage in them, you will fall into the hellfire. وَحُفَّتْ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِ. Whereas the paradise is surrounded by makari, the things that are makruh, disliked, the things that people don't like. That's difficult and hard, like getting up for Fajr and fasting in Ramadan and doing the things that Allah has obligated upon us, but we find some difficulty in doing them. The paradise is surrounded by these things, and only by fulfilling them will a person be able to enter the paradise. Therefore, it is upon us to strive and to struggle in trying to do good and compete with those who are ahead of us and to catch up with them. Can you take this please, Akhi? Look what it said. If you can help, or if somebody can help, please. Somebody. Jazakallah khair. Okay, sisters, inshallah, we're going to try to take care of it. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in his explanation of this hadith, mentions a lot of things. Few pages actually, so we're just going to summarize some of the points that he made. The first thing that the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah said concerning the hadith, انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم, look at those who are less fortunate than you and not those who are more fortunate than you. He said that انظروا, this is a command, look, but the command here is not, as we said, the general rule is الأمر يقتضي الوجوب, that a command indicates that which is obligatory, but not in every case, that's a general rule. And here's an exception to that rule. The Shaykh said here that this command is not to indicate an obligation. Rather, it is lil irshad. This is a command that is intended as a means of guidance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying unzuru in the command form, but it's not like obligatory upon you. But this is a means of guidance. If you want to be guided, then do this. The second point the Shaykh says, qawluhu unzuru. When he said, look, is the meaning of this another bil-ayn? Does this mean look with your eyes, yani al-basr, looking with your eyesight? Or is it al-basira, looking with your insight? He said the answer is the second. He doesn't mean look with your eyes at those who have more than you. Rather, he's saying look with your insight. Not your basr, but your basira, your insight. Examine, inspect, investigate. Consider, think about it. Think about this condition of those who are less than you, so that you can realize how fortunate you are when you look at those who are less than you. And the Shaykh says, the third point, that this looking or consideration of those who are less than you, he said, look at what? Look at the ni'mah of Allah, the favor that Allah has given. No matter if it is a ni'mah, diniyah or dunyawiyah. And here, if you examine carefully what we have just said, he said, look at the favors that Allah has given, no matter if it is the favors of the worldly matters or the religious matters. Here the Shaykh is differing from the original position that we have explained concerning this hadith from Shaykh Abdullah and many of the scholars of the Sunnah, who said that we should look at those who are less fortunate than us in reference to worldly matters. But in the religious matters, they say we should look at those who are above us, who have excelled us, so that we can try to catch up with them and strive to compete with them. But here Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen is saying no, that the ni'mah of Allah, that the Prophet ﷺ is saying to look at, it is all of the favors of Allah, whether it is of the religious affairs or in the worldly affairs. That we should look at those who are less fortunate than us, and not at those who are more fortunate than us. And there's some discussion concerning the reason why he has a different view concerning this, that inshallah we'll come to. The fourth thing that he says is that the Prophet ﷺ has given the reason or the explanation or the illah why he has commanded us to look at those who are less fortunate and not to look at those who are more fortunate. And he said the reason is because فَهُوَ أَجْدَرُ أَلَّا تَزْدَرُ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Because in this way you will be enabled to avoid underestimating, thinking insignificant or thinking little of the favors of Allah upon you. And then the Shaykh says that the ni'mah of Allah includes ni'mah ad-deen wa ni'mah ad-dunya, the blessings and favors of Allah in the deen as well as the blessings and favors of Allah in the dunya. And then the Shaykh says that another point, and this is from the al-irshad al-hakim, the wise guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is because there is no doubt that Allah the Most High has made the people mutafawateen, meaning that some of them excel others. They are not equal. All people are on different levels. There are no people that are equal, but they are mutafawateen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra 17:21, انظر كيف فضلنا بعدهم عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Look, consider how we have given preference to some of them over others. Meaning the human beings. Allah has not made all people equal, but rather He has preferred some over others. So the people excel one another in their wealth, and in their intellect, and in their strength, and in their children, and in everything. Even in their physical characteristics, the people, some of them excel others. It's not possible that you'll find two people who are equal in everything, even if they might be very close in resembling one another. But there must be some tafawut between them, some one of them excelling over the other. So if we accept this reality that the people are mutafawateen, that they excel, some of them others, then some of them will be the Ali, the one who is higher, more fortunate. And some of them will be the nazil, the one who is lower, who is less fortunate. Therefore, do not look at the one who is ali, who is more fortunate, who is above you. Because if you do so, then you will think little of the favors that Allah has given to you. But rather you should look at that one who is less than you, who is below you, who is less fortunate than you, in order to appreciate the favors of Allah upon you. And then the Shaykh mentions a number of examples, that if we look at a person's sight, some people have better sight than others. If we look at people's ilm, some people have more knowledge than others. If we look at people's akhlaq, their character, some people's better character than others. If we look at their ibadah, some people have better ibadah and more than others. And all of these points he discussed in some detail, but for the sake of time, like these are examples that he gave to show that the people, some of them excel others in all kinds of things. And he says at the end of this discussion, he says, if you find a person who has achieved a great amount of worship, yani a lot of salat and a lot of sadaqah and a lot of fasting and being good to parents and keeping the ties of blood relations, and you find another person who is less than that in all of those things, maybe he hasn't done much of any of those things, and you are between the two of them, then you should look at the one. Which one should you look at? The one who is less than you. Because the favors of Allah in deen, in worship, in these matters, is actually more greater and more important than the favors of Allah that he has given in the worldly affairs. So a person would then say Alhamdulillah. And when they look at the one who is less fortunate in the matters of deen, they will say Alhamdulillah, who has guided me. And indeed, ana fil khair, I am in a good condition. Especially if you look at the people, the Muslims, who are not praying regularly, who are not praying on time, who are not praying, the men who are not praying in jama'ah, and other matters that we see every day around us, amongst the Muslims, it's not that difficult to find those who are less fortunate. It's not that difficult. And if we find any difficulty, then look at the kafirs and the mushriks. And certainly our condition is better than them, by far. Then the Shaykh says that according to his view, in all matters, whether of the dunya, the worldly matters, or the religious matters, we should always look at the one who is less fortunate than us, who is below us, so that we can appreciate the favors of Allah, even in the religious matters that Allah has given us, and He has favored us above many, and therefore we can appreciate that which He has given us, and we will not underestimate or think little or insignificant of the favors of Allah upon us. And this, he said, does not prevent us from striving in the khayrat, in doing good, in competing in the doing good. We do not say that if you look at those who are less than you, then become content that you are above them and you are better than them and just remain where you are. But we say strive in the good. Yes, strive in the good. However, from the perspective of the favors that Allah has given to us, do not look at the one who is above you, who is better than you, in reference to the favors of Allah, even in the religious affairs. Do not look at the one who is above you in reference to the ni'mah of Allah upon you. Because if you do so, then if you look at the one who is better off than you, you will imagine and you will think and you will say that Allah has not given you anything. And then the Shaykh addresses the issue of the difference of opinion concerning this matter. And he says, وَأَمَّا التَّفْرِيقُ تَفْرِيقُ بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَاءِ بَيْنَ الْأُمُورِ الدِّينِ وَبَيْنَ الدُّنْيَا The Amur al-Dunya, as far as those scholars who differentiate in this hadith of looking at those who are less fortunate than you. They differentiate between the matters of the worldly matters and the matters of deen. And they say, some of the scholars, as we mentioned in the first view, that they say in matters of dunya, look at those who are less fortunate, so you can appreciate what Allah has given to you. But in the matters of the deen, look at those who are above you, so that you can strive to reach them and to compete with them. The Shaykh says, as far as this view of some of the scholars in differentiating between looking at those who have been given more than you, whether in matters of dunya and deen, differentiating between the two, he said, فَفِيهِ nazar. Yani, this is something that is to be examined. It should be looked at. Yani, the meaning of it, what he intends by that, it is questionable. This view is questionable. And why is it questionable? He says, because the hadith is am, is general. And a person would be envious of someone who Allah has given strength in the deen and the ability to do good and the ability to avoid evil. He would be envious of that person who has been given more in the religious favors than he would be from the person who has been given less. Therefore, a person should not look at, in matters of religion, they should not look at those who are above them, the Shaykh is saying, but rather they should look at those who are below them so they can appreciate that even if they are not as strong as another person in deen, they should still recognize that Allah has favored them and that He has guided them to Islam, that He has guided them to the Sunnah, that He has given them correct aqeedah, even if other people have excelled them, and even if other people are above them. However, in terms of striving to compete, then yes, in that sense you can look at those who are above you and try to compete with them and strive to do better, and realize that you have fallen short in terms of your actions, and you should try to do better than you have done. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Shaykh says here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has guided us in this way of looking or examining the affair. He has guided us in looking at the favors of Allah. He has guided us in reference to looking at the favors of Allah upon us, to look at those who are less fortunate than us. not in reference to our own actions. In reference to our own actions, then we can look at those who are above us. And we can realize that we have fallen short, and we can strive to do better. But in terms of the favors of Allah upon us, we should look at those who have less than us, so we can appreciate what Allah has given to us, and not think little of that which, of the favors of Allah upon us. And then the Shaykh mentions two closing points, and I'll just summarize them. He says that in this hadith, one of the benefits of this hadith is we see husnu irshad al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bihadha al-kalam al-ladhi yu'tabar qa'ida fi an-nadhr ila ni'am Allah an tanzura ila man dunak. That in this instruction from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he has guided us to look at those who have less than us, he said this should be considered as a qa'ida, a rule or a principle, when we look at the favors that Allah has given to anyone, that we should always look at those who are less than us, who has been given less than us. This is a principle that we should take as a principle, and we should act upon it and live upon it. What is important is that this principle, which has been mentioned here by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this reality is something that is befitting of a person to base his life upon. A person should base their life upon this principle, and they should live by it. And the second point the Shaykh says is from this hadith, we also understand husnul ta'aleem al-rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we say the excellence of the teaching of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that when he mentioned a command, or when he mentioned a ruling or a judgment concerning a matter, in many cases he also mentioned the ta'aleel, the reason for it, the basis of it, the wisdom behind it, the purpose of it. He has also mentioned this. And in the mention of the reason behind a command, or a prohibition, or a ruling, or a judgment, there are two benefits. The first benefit is ziyadat tama'anina, that the person, the human being, will have an increase in their peace of mind. They will be more at rest with a command, or a prohibition, or a ruling, or a judgment in a matter, when they know the reason for it. What is the wisdom behind it, or the basis of it? If they understand that, they will be able to accept it better. And the second benefit, the Shaykh says, is bayan samu al-sharia. That in knowing the reason, or the basis, or the wisdom behind the command, or prohibition, or judgment, or ruling in Islam, if a person understands the reasoning or the basis for it, then this is also a clarification of the loftiness, the sublimity of the Sharia of Islam, in that it is a law which there is no command, and there is no permission, prohibition, nor is there any judgment or any ruling, except that it is based upon wisdom. Allah has not commanded us with anything, except it is based upon His wisdom, His perfect wisdom and justice. He has not prohibited us from anything, except it is based upon His perfect wisdom and justice. And whenever we know the reasoning behind it, it helps us. It helps us to understand the reason for that command, or that prohibition, or that judgment. And this shows the excellence and the loftiness and the sublimity of the Islamic Sharia. Please repeat the hadith about the one who protected me and preferred me over... We didn't even have time to write it. The Prophet sallallahu... Anyway, it's in Fortress of the Muslim. It's in the Fortress of the Muslim. Try to look it up, inshallah. I think it's supplication number 194 in Hisn al-Muslim. Supplication number 194. And some of the translations of the Fortress of the Muslim, the numbering is slightly different, but it's around that area, if it's not exactly 194. I think in the publication, the translation of Dar al-Salam is 194. And there's at least two other translations of this book, so the numbering might be a little different in the other translations, but you can find it there, 194. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you see a person who's afflicted, you should say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi afani mimma batalaka bihi wa faddalani ala kathirin min man khalaqa tafdila. That praise belongs to Allah, who has protected me, who has saved me from that which you, the person who you are looking at, who you see afflicted, who has saved me and protected me from that which you are afflicted with, and who has given me a preference, an excellent preference over many of those whom he has created. How much time for that then? Huh? Huh?
4 minutes.
What are you saying?
4 minutes.
Jazakallah khair. You know I can't hear good. Pardon me. Tayyib, jayyid. Okay, inshallah, we're going to look at the second hadith, even if we can't finish it. And we'll try to finish it after the adhan up until the iqamah as much as we can. Because we're getting a little bit behind, so we've got to try to cover some of this, inshallah. The third hadith, the second hadith that we want to take today, the third hadith in our series, is hadith number 3, is 1238 in the Bulugh al-Maram, is عن النواس ابن سمعان رضي الله عنه قال سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن البر والإثم فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم البر حسن الخلق والإثم ما حاك في صدرك and similar narrations في نفسك وكرعت أن يتلع عليه الناس أخرجه مسلم. On the authority of النواس ابن سمعان رضي الله عنه, he said, I asked the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم about البر, righteousness, and al-ithm, sin. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, replied, righteousness is husnul khuluq, good character. And sin is that which revolves, yani goes back and forth, is like a disturbance in the heart, being doubtful about it, because the person is not sure. Sin is that which revolves in the heart, being doubtful about it, and you dislike that people come to know about it. Muslim reported it. The Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Birr is righteousness. It is good character. And Al-Ithm, sin, is that which revolves in the heart. It's heavy upon the heart. Person's chest is tight. They feel uncomfortable. They're not pleased with it. And you dislike that the people come to know about it. These are two things. That it affects the heart. And also, you dislike that the people come to know about it. By the way, if any brothers didn't sign the attendance, please sign it before you leave. Sheikh Abdullah Ibn Abd al-Rahman al-Bassam, rahimahullah, he says, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he says that this hadith, well, first he mentions four definitions, briefly. Al-Birr. He said that Al-Birr is tawassu' fi fi'l al-khayr. Yani it is al-tawassu', yani expansion, or as we say in the street language, stretching out in doing good. Yani doing a lot of good. And it is a comprehensive noun that includes all kinds of khayrat, good things, including earning the hasanat and avoiding the sayyiat, yani earning good deeds and avoiding evil deeds. وَالْعَمَلَ الْخَالِسِ الدَّامِ الْمُسْتَمِرِ And that a person does deeds which are sincere and which are constant and ongoing, continuous, that this is birr. Yani, trying to do a lot of good, earning good deeds and avoiding sinful deeds, and doing things sincerely, continuously and constantly. As for husn al-khuluq, he says, that Ibn al-Qayyq al-Eid, rahimahullah, said, it is al-insaf fil mu'amalat, wal-rifq fil mujadalat, wal-adl fil ahkam, wal-badl fil ihsan, wa ghayr dhalik min sifat al-mu'mineen. That it is being fair and just in your dealings with the people and being gentle and kind in the mujadila, in the when you have a dispute with somebody and being just in your rulings and extending yourself in doing good and other than that of the characteristics of the believers. The Shaykh says that al-ithm, sin, it is al-ma'asi wal-dhunub bihaqqi Allah aw bihaqqi khalqi. That al-ithm, it means acts of disobedience and dhunub, being sinful in reference to the rights of Allah as well as the rights of Allah's creatures, the people. And he mentions that Ibn Daqiq al-Eid said that al-ifm, it is that which generates in the heart. Yani, that which causes the person to run away from something, to flee from something. And he said that haqa, yani in the hadith, that al-ifm is ma haqa fi sadrika, that which revolves back and forth in the heart or causes discomfort or causes the person to feel uneasy or tight. He said that this means that the person's thoughts or their feelings about the, in the inside of their self, they are mutaraddid, they are going back and forth undecided about it, and they fear that it might be something sinful. Of course, as we go through the explanation of this hadith, we'll find that this definition of sin that the Prophet ﷺ is given here, it is in reference to those things which have not been clearly delineated in the Quran and the Sunnah as being sinful. As for that which is in the Quran and Sunnah, we don't have to check our heart about it. If Allah said it's sinful, and the Quran is sinful. But this hadith is in reference to the person who's unsure about something. He doesn't know whether or not Allah has prohibited a matter or not. It hasn't been specifically clarified or mentioned in the Quran nor in the Sunnah. And therefore he's not sure if it's sinful. In that case, the Prophet ﷺ is saying that a person will feel uneasiness in their heart. And again, and this is also in reference to some people, not in reference to all people, because there are some people who feel comfortable committing sin, right? Some people are extremely pleased when they are committing sins. They're happy. They love it. From this hadith, Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman Ali Bassam says, this hadith includes the explanation of two expressions, al-birr wal-ithm. And the meaning of these two expressions, al-birr, righteousness, and al-ithm, sin, their detailed clarification is as follows. Now here the Shaykh mentions a few different scholars and what they have said concerning each one of these expressions. It is somewhat lengthy, I might not be able to cover it all. But we'll cover as much as we can according to the time that we have remaining until the Iqamah. First, he quotes from Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah, the great scholar of hadith, who said that al-birr includes all types of acts of obedience that are internal, as well as those which are external. Those which are internal, like having iman in Allah and the angels and the books and the prophets. And those acts of obedience which are external, like spending from your wealth in that which is pleasing to Allah. And establishing the salat. And fulfilling the obligatory zakat. And fulfilling covenants, keeping agreements, and patience with that which Allah has decreed of the things that we dislike. Patience with that which Allah has decreed upon us, like sickness and poverty and many other things that may have befallen us by Allah's decree that we dislike, having patience with it. And patience in doing acts of obedience, like being patient in meeting the enemy, which definitely requires patience. And it is likely that this answer of the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith of An-Nawas radiallahu anhu is shamilan, yani inclusive of all of these characteristics, all of what has been mentioned, and more than that. Because husnul khuluq, yani al-birr is husnul khuluq, good character. Husnul khuluq may mean at-takhalluq bi-akhlaq al-sharia, that a person is characterized. They take on the characteristics that have come to us in the Sharia of Allah. How many characteristics has Allah legislated for us in His Sharia? And التأدب بأداب الله التي أدب بها عباده في كتابه. And the manners, the etiquettes and the manners of behavior that Allah has placed upon His servants in His book. How much has Allah mentioned in the Quran concerning the manners of the believers? And if we have time, we will see some of them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. That indeed you are upon a character that is azim. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said in his tafsir of this, as mentioned by Ibn Kathir, عَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ means عَلَى دِينٍ عَظِيمٍ. That the khuluq here means a deen that is azim, great, tremendous, a magnificent character, meaning a magnificent deen. And this deen includes the khuluq, our character and our relationship with Allah, as well as our khuluq and character and our relationship with the people. And Aisha radiallahu anha said, kana khuluqu al-Qur'an. Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. Yani, that his character, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his character was the Qur'an. This means that his adab, his manners, was the adab of the Qur'an. So he used to act upon the awamir, all of the commands that have come in the Qur'an. And he used to avoid the nawahi, all of the prohibitions that have come in the Qur'an. So his acting upon the Qur'an became his character. Al-jibilla, yani his tabi'a, yani his natural, his character, it became his nature. Acting upon the commands of the Qur'an and the prohibitions of the Qur'an became his nature. It became like something that was his natural disposition. Yani that which he was naturally inclined towards, that he never separated from. Meaning that he acted like this when he was amongst the people and when he was alone. When he was in the masjid and when he was in the street. When he was with the Muslims and when he was with the kafirs, his character was the same all the time. If you get the point. And this, the Shaykh says, is the best character. And it is the most honorable character and the most beautiful character. And it has been said, إِنَّ الدِّينِ كُلُّهُ خُلُقُ. That indeed this deen, all of it is character, good character. The whole of it is related to good character. And again, meaning our character in our relationship with Allah and our character in our relationship with the people. Then the Shaykh says, another definition given for al-birr is that which is given by Ibn Daqiq al-Eid. He said al-birr is husnul khuluq. Yani al-birr meaning husnul khuluq, it is, what is intended by it is being fair in your dealings with the people, being kind and gentle even when you dispute, being just and fair in making rulings, extending yourself in doing good. And other than that, from the characteristics of the believers that Allah has described them with in the Qur'an, and these descriptions we will not be able to mention in detail, but there are almost 40 characteristics that He mentions here. And in order for you to write them all down, we will be writing up until the Iqamah. So instead of writing them now, I'll give you the ayats, inshallah. And the Shaykh gave us these ayats, but he didn't give them in detail, but you can go back and look at the ayats, okay? He said the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Anfal, the first ayat he gave in Surah Al-Anfal 8, ayats 2, 3 and 4, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. That verily the believers, and only these are the true believers, who when Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble with fear. You can go back and look at these ayats from Surah Al-Anfal 8, ayats 2, 3 and 4. The first of those characteristics is that when Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble with fear. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتُهُ إِمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And he mentioned after that, that when the ayats of Allah are recited to them, they are increased in iman from it. It causes their iman to increase. They believe in it, and it increases their iman. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And they are those who put their trust in their Lord. And they perform the prayers, and they fulfill, they give, they spend from what Allah has given them to the end of those ayats. And then he mentioned the second ayah from Surah At-Tawbah 9. 1:12. And there are about 8 or 9 characteristics mentioned in these ayat, in this ayat, Surah Tawbah 9:1-12. At-ta'ibuna al-'abidun, the Shaykh says, those who are repentant and those who are worshippers. And the ayah goes on. At-ta'ibuna al-'abiduna al-hamiduna as-sa'ihuna al-raki'una as-sajiduna, until the end of the ayat, where Allah mentions a number of characteristics of the believers, those who have the characteristic of repentance and those who have the characteristic of worshipping Allah and those who praise Allah and those who travel in the earth or who fast for the sake of Allah and those who are raki'una, who are bowing in salat and who are sajiduna, prostrating, and those who command the good and those who forbid the wrong, and all to the end of the ayat. And then the Shaykh mentions the third ayat from Surah Al-Mu'mineen 23, ayats 1-11. And there's another 8 characteristics mentioned in these ayats that begin with قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that indeed the believers are successful. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, those who in their salat they have khushu', and so on to the end of those ayats from Surah 23, ayats 1-11. And then the fourth ayat he mentions is Surah Al-Furqan 25, verses 63-77, and there's about 15 characteristics in these ayats. Chapter 25, Surah Furqan, ayat 63-77. Ibadur Rahman alladhina yamshuna ala al-ardi hawna, that the worshippers of Ar-Rahman are those who walk through the earth humbly. Wa idha khatabahum al-jahiluna qalu salama, and when the ignorant speak to them, they don't argue and curse and act like them, but they say salam, get me out of here. You don't meet ignorance with ignorance. And to the end of those ayats. And these are some of the characteristics that Allah describes the believers with. And all of this is part of Husnul Khuluq or Al-Birr. Then the Shaykh says, so whoever has some doubt about their condition concerning this matter, they are not sure what is their condition, فَلْيُعْرِضْ نَفْسَهُ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ, then he should, يعني, look at himself, compare himself to these ayats. يعني, judge himself in reference to these ayats. So whoever finds all of these characteristics in himself, then this is a sign that he has good character. And whoever has all of these characteristics absent from himself, then this is a sign that he has evil character. And whoever finds some of them and missing some of them, then it indicates that he has some degree of good character. So a person should get busy in trying to preserve the good characteristics that he finds in himself. Don't let them get away. And he should be busy trying to achieve those which are missing that he doesn't have or she doesn't have. And nobody should imagine that good character is an expression that simply means being gentle and easy or sociable and avoiding the filthy, just outright filthy evil things alone. And if a person is sociable and nice with the people and they don't just display just the wicked, filthy, outright corrupt behavior, then they're good to go. Don't imagine that. But rather, good character is that which has been mentioned in these characteristics of the believers, in these ayats and in other ayats, that a person should characterize themselves with this akhlaq that's mentioned in the Quran, and also they should be patient with harm when it comes to them from other people. And finally, the Shaykh mentions one more definition, and he says that al-birr, according to Shaykh Ahmed Hijazi, al-birr, in his explanation of the 40 hadith, he said al-birr is an expression of what has been made obligatory upon us in the Sharia, and what we have been encouraged to do as commendable acts in the Sharia. So it includes all types of doing good, including meeting a person with a smiling face and holding back harm from others, and extending oneself and doing good to others. He He said that it includes these three things. That when you meet the people, meet them with a smile. And you refrain from doing harm to others, but rather you extend yourself in doing good to others. And it also includes, and this is a very important part of the definition of al-birr, وَأَنْ يُحِبُّ لِلنَّاسِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِي. That you love for the people what you love for yourself. That you love for the people what you love for yourself. And also he mentioned what was previously mentioned of being fair in your dealings with the people and gentle even when you dispute and just in your rulings and doing good in secret. Doing good in secret. And giving preference to others even when you are in difficulty. And being a good companion to your companions. Husnul Suhbah. And being sociable with other people. And bearing patiently the harm from the people. And doing, fulfilling all of the obligatory duties and avoiding all of the prohibited things. So whoever is not expert at dictation, I hope you have some kind of recording device. As far as what the Shaykh says concerning al-ithm, sin, he said it is that which affects the chest, meaning the heart. It causes tightness. It troubles the person. The person will not feel relaxed with it. It is something that the people think is evil. They think it is munkar. The people dislike it when they come to know it. When they see it, they dislike it. And he said this is the highest level of knowing sin. In the situation when a person is in doubt. They're in doubt. Is this a sin or not? I don't know if the Quran has prohibited this. Or if the Prophet ﷺ has prohibited this. Has declared this to be sinful. I'm in doubt. I'm not sure. When you find that the people consider it to be evil. And they dislike it when they come to know about it. This is the highest level of knowing sin. That is, when the people consider something as evil. Both those who are doing it and those who are not doing it. Meaning even the people who are doing it, from amongst the believers, they will say that it's evil, but I'm just weak. And certainly the other people, they will say that it's evil. And this is like the saying of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, مَا رَآهُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَسَنًا فَهُوَ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ حَسَنًا وَمَا رَآهُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ قَبِيحًا فَهُوَ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ قَبِيحٌ. That whatever the believers see or consider as being good, then it is good in front of Allah. Whatever the believers, not the kafirs, because they got this thing twisted, for sure. But whatever the believers see as being evil, filthy, then it is filthy with Allah. So in brief, in summary, know for sure, the Shaykh now is going to clarify for us that this rule that came in this hadith, meaning whatever the heart feels uncomfortable with, that thing that revolves back and forth in the heart and causes doubt about whether or not it is sinful, this rule is not applicable to that which have been mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah as being sinful. This rule doesn't apply to that, meaning that which Allah said is sinful to drink alcohol. We don't got to check our heart about that. We know that that's sinful. So the Shaykh says, in brief, whatever has been narrated in texts, meaning in the Quran or the Sunnah, then it is not for the believer to do anything except to obey Allah and His Messenger in these things. As Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. That it is not befitting of the believing man or the believing woman when Allah and His Messenger has decided a matter that they have any choice in their affair except to hear and obey. The believers say what? Sami'na wa ata'na. This is in reference to that which what? Has been mentioned in the textual evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah. So it is expected that the believer should accept it with an open heart, being pleased with whatever Allah has decreed, whatever Allah has legislated. For indeed, whatever Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have legislated, it is obligatory to have iman in it, and to be pleased with it, and to surrender to it, As Allah said in the Quran, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجْرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. That, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ, no, by your Lord, this is the oath. It is that the believers, لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, they will not have complete and perfect iman until they make you, the Prophet ﷺ, the judge in whatever they dispute about. And they do not find any difficulty in accepting that which you have judged, and they submit to it and surrender to it completely. So here the Shaykh is saying what? Then in matters that have been decreed, that have been declared to be whatever the ruling Allah has given to it in the Quran or the Prophet ﷺ in the Sunnah, then this hadith is not in reference to that, whether or not that thing is sinful. Whatever Allah has made prohibited, then it is sinful. And whatever the Prophet ﷺ has prohibited, then it is sinful. But as for that which, there's no textual proof in the Quran from Allah, nor from the Prophet ﷺ, nor from those whose sayings are to be followed, like the Sahaba and the Salaf of this Ummah. Yani we didn't find anything in the Quran, nor in the Sunnah, nor in the sayings of the Sahaba or the Salaf, the early generations of the Muslims, the people who were upon the way of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. In that which we found a textual proof from Allah and His Messenger, and from the Sahaba and the Salaf of this Ummah, we didn't find any textual proof from them. And the person has some doubt in their heart about the matter. If it is a mu'min who is mutma'inna qalbuhu bil iman wa munsharih sadruhu bi nur al ma'rifah wal yaqeen, yani this rule is in reference to who? The believer whose heart is at peace and tranquil, yani with iman, he has accepted iman, he's good with that, or she's good with that, whose heart is open, expanded to the light of knowledge and certainty. The person who has accepted the realities of this deen, who has accepted wholeheartedly and surrendered to that which came in the Quran and the Sunnah. This rule is in reference to that person. When they didn't find anything in the Quran or Sunnah and the sayings of the scholars whose sayings are accepted to be followed, in this case, if his heart finds some difficulty with it, and he didn't find anyone to give him a rukhsa, he didn't find anyone to give him a fatwa allowing such thing to be done, a fatwa from who? From the scholars of the Sunnah, the scholars whose deen and whose knowledge is known. But he only found somebody to give him a permission from amongst those who only speak from their opinion. He only found somebody to give him a permission from amongst those whose knowledge and their deen is not acceptable. Rather, they are those who are known for following their desires. Then in this case, the believer, the mu'min, he should consider this rule that sin is ma haka fi sadrika wa karihta an yattali alayhi an-nas. Then he should consider it as sin if his heart is troubled by it and he dislikes that the people would come to know about it if he had done it, or if he had said it, or if he had thought it. Even though some people might give him a ruling that is permissible. You can find some people today, some of them can be called scholars. Yes. And they will say, for example, that music is halal. Naam. I just read in an email that a brother sent, a school in England prohibited two Muslim teenagers from attending their classes because they refused to shave their beard. And they consulted with a professor of Islamic studies at a leading university in England concerning the matter, and he told them this is a matter of choice. So you can find somebody to say anything. But these are the people who we don't listen to what they say. It's clear they don't know. He said, it is said that perhaps the Prophet Muhammad had a beard. What kind of ignorance have we found in this world today? Allah musta'an. So whoever doesn't find anything in the Quran or the Sunnah or in the scholars who are to be considered, and his heart is troubled by something, and nobody gives him a permission except those who we don't accept from them, who only follow their desires, then he should consider it a sin and he should leave it alone. And finally, the Shaykh says that Shaykh Ahmed Al-Hijazi says that itham, it is a dhamb, yani an act of disobedience or sin, that which troubles the heart or the inner soul, causes a person to be undecided, uncertain. They flee from the idea of doing or saying such a thing. They dislike it. They are not at peace with it. And they do not like that people should come to know about it. Then he said, this is considered sin. And this is because the inner self, the soul of the believer, has some feelings, shuur, min asl al-fitra, that is from the foundation or the core of their nature, that's in their nature, their fitra, that makes them to know that the end of a certain action or deed is praiseworthy, and that the end result of a certain act or deed is blameworthy. From their fitra, in the core of their fitra, they know that the end result of this is blameworthy. Or they know that the end result of this behavior is praiseworthy. They know that. And therefore the believer whose heart is pure and whose manhaj is correct upon the Islam and the Sunnah, then they can follow their heart in these matters. And if they feel uncomfortable about it, they should consider it sin. And they should leave it alone, because it is only the shahwa, the desires, the lower self, that overcomes them and causes them to step forward and to engage in that which they know is harmful to their self. But when they have that feeling, then they should resist and refrain and abstain. And the way that we understand that the disliking of the people of a thing is an indication that it's a sin, is because the nature of the human being that's pure and uncorrupted, the person who's upon Iman and upon Islam and upon the Sunnah, their nature is such that they love that people come to know if they have done something good. They are not ashamed that people know that they have done good. And they dislike the opposite. Meaning, the nature of the human being whose heart and soul is pure dislikes that people come to know when they have committed a sin and done some wrong. So from this perspective, many of the people were destroyed by riya, because it's the nature of the human being that it loves when people come to know they have done well. So they like to be seen doing good. And this is a dangerous matter, that a person love to be seen doing good. Rather, it's better that a believer hide their good, except in those cases, as the scholars have mentioned, that they do good publicly so that other people can follow them in their good. But not do good to be seen by the people, to be praised by the people. Many people have been destroyed by this. And likewise, he said that from this perspective, disliking that the people come to know about a person's action or deed or saying or speech, disliking that the people come to know about it, is an indication that this is sin, that this is something evil. Because this is the nature of the pure soul, that it dislikes that people come to know about their evil deed. And it likes that people come to know about their good deed. And this is the end of what we can mention today. And perhaps inshallah, the next time, if Allah allows us to meet again, we'll just take a couple of comments concerning this hadith from Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen. But we're going to stop here with this inshallah. And I encourage you, if you have received the questionnaire study guide, to look carefully at the questions number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and 7. All of the questions, and to write them out if possible. And inshallah in the next lecture we will finish the brief notes or just some brief quotations from Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen and answer these questions before we go on to the next hadith. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.